జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ. యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రాజన యమునా తీరవన చారీ జయ రథ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ. యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రాజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రాజన యమునా తీరవన చారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ. యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రాజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రాజన యమునా తీరవన చారీ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ రామ Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 7, text 36. The title of the chapter is The Son of Drona Punished.
Mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam sriyam jadam प्रपन्नं विरथं भीतं नरि पुंहन्ति धर्मवित् मत्तं प्रमत्तं उन्मत्तं सुप्तं बालं स्त्रियं जडम् प्रपन्नं विरथं भीतं नरि पुंहन्ति धर्मवित् मत्तं प्रमत्तं उन्मत्तं सुप्तं बालं स्त्रियं जडम् प्रपन्नं विरतं वीतं नरिपुंहन्ति धर्मवित् मत्तं प्रमत्तं उन्मत्तं बालं प्रियं करम् प्रपन्नं विरतं वीतं नरिपुंहन्ति धर्मवित् मत्तं प्रमत्तम् उन्मत्तं सुप्तं बालं प्रियं जडम् प्रपन्नं विरतं वीतं नरिपुंहन्ति धर्मवेत् मत्तं प्रमत्तम् उन्मत्तम् उत्तम बालं प्रियं जडम् प्रपन्नं विरतं वीतं नरिपुंहन्ति धर्मवेत्
माताजी
मत्तं प्रमत्तम् उन्मत्तम् सुप्तं बालं प्रियं जडम् प्रपन्नं विरतं वीतं नरिपुंहन्ति धर्मवेत्
सो वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग Mattam, careless. Pramattam, intoxicated. Unmattam, insane. Suptam, asleep. Balam, boy. Sriyam, woman. Jadam, foolish. Prapannam, surrendered.
Viratham, one who has lost his chariot. Bhitam, afraid. Na, not. Ripum, enemy. Hanti, kill. Dharmavit, one who knows the principles of religion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. A person who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is careless, intoxicated, insane, asleep, afraid, or devoid of his chariot. Nor does he kill a boy, a woman, a foolish creature, or a surrendered soul. Purport. An enemy who does not resist is never killed by a warrior who knows the principles of religion. Formerly, battles were fought on the principles of religion and not for the sake of sense gratification. If the enemy happened to be intoxicated, asleep, etc., as above mentioned, he was never to be killed. These are some of the codes of religious war. Formerly, war was never declared by whims of selfish political leaders. It was carried out on religious principles, free from all vices. Violence carried out on religious principles is far superior to so-called non-violence. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Kapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे A person who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is careless, intoxicated, insane, asleep, afraid, or devoid of his chariot. Nor does he kill a boy, a woman, a foolish creature, or a surrendered soul.
Hare Krishna, at the very outset, would like to welcome all of you for this Bhagavatam class. Now, the
pastimes of Ashwatthama are going on for quite some time now, and this is more or less continuation of this. So this verse explicitly states that one who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is mattam, careless, pramattam, intoxicated, unmattam, insane, suptam, asleep, balam, a boy, sriyam, a lady, jadam, foolish, prapannam, one who has surrendered, viratam, one who has lost the chariot, bhitam, one who is afraid. So these are norms and rules of war which have been framed. Actually, these are framed before the Mahabharata war started, but many of these rules, so-called rules, were flouted during Mahabharata war. And Ashwatthama, the son of great Dronacharya, has himself violated these very rules and norms. So therefore, basically this verse refers to in context of Ashwatthama's atrocities. So after the Kurukshetra war was over on 18th day, at night time Ashwatthama stealthily crept into the camp of the Pandavas. The Pandavas were themselves with Sri Krishna at that point in time. So he got in, and with a sword that was given to him by Lord Shiva himself, he literally butchered 5 sleeping persons who he thought were Pandavas mistakenly. In his stupor, in his anxiety to please his master Duryodhan, he cut the throats of heads of all the 5 sleeping people, and he carried those 5 heads under the perception that they are Pandavas whom he has killed, and he took them to Duryodhan and he showed the heads. He said, "Here, you know, I have brought the heads of Pandavas." Now Duryodhan at that point in time was on threshold of death. He was approaching death, more or less. So he thought Duryodhan will be very pleased. And when Duryodhan first heard it, he may have been pleased in his mind. But when he said that, "Here, I have brought the heads." So when he touched the heads, when he felt the heads, Duryodhan immediately realized that these were heads of not grown-up individuals, but youngsters. So he told Ashwatthama, "These are not the heads of Pandavas. These are heads of Draupadi's sons. What have you done?" So Ashwatthama realized his mistake, but it was too late. He had already killed, butchered the sons. So what is more, Ashwatthama not only killed the sons of Draupadi in ignorance, one can say, but he expected that he would be appreciated. He expected that he would get plaudits, you know, for having killed. But Duryodhan knew better. So he told him that he displayed his displeasure, and he soon after left his own body. So that was the end. So what did Ashwatthama get from this? Except, you know, infamy and a curse which he got from Krishna eventually. So what was Ashwatthama's gain? So did Ashwatthama undergo any kind of atrocities himself during his childhood that he perpetrated this crime? So I was just thinking that we go into the life of Ashwatthama very briefly in order to understand why Ashwatthama behaved this way. So sometimes a child undergoes deprivation during childhood, and a deprived child behaves erratically when he grows up. During childhood, he may have been deprived of even khana or whatever, but after he grows up, his brain, you know, still labors under that deprivation syndrome, and he behaves erratically. I was just thinking whether that was one of the reasons why Ashwatthama behaved the way he behaved. So
Let us briefly go into life history of Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama was the son of Drona and grandson of great sage Bharadwaj, Rishi, and mother, Krupi, Ashwatthama's mother, was the daughter of illustrious sage Sharadwan and sister of Krupacharya. Credentials are impeccable. So Drona married Krupi, and they did not have children for quite some time, so they worshipped Lord Shiva. It is said that in one of the temples in Haridwar, they performed worship. And Lord Shiva was pleased and blessed them with a son. And it is said that as soon as he was born, you know, he neighed like a horse. You know, horses come out with a particular type of sound. So he did that. And that sound reverberated everywhere. And there was an Akashvani, so disembodied voice said that, name him Ashwatthama. That's how he got the name Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, like an ashwa. He, you know, he neighed, horses neigh, you know, they come out with particular peculiar sound. So he is that. So he was named as Ashwatthama. So Drona and Kripi, they lived in extreme poverty, lot of poverty, extreme poverty. And their life changed for the worse after Ashwatthama was born. Sometimes, you know, children bring good luck. In their case, it did not happen. Their poverty and their misery increased. So they were very, very unhappy. And as the child grew up, they were constantly aware that they are not able to provide adequate food even to the son. So the his material condition did not improve at all. So therefore Dronacharya thought that let me take shelter or shelter of Parshuram, Lord Parshuram. He said that I'll go and take his shelter and maybe, you know, my conditions will change for the better. That was his perception. But as it turned out, he went to Parshuram. Parshuram gave him excellent training in weaponry. He became super excellent in wielding weapons and giving jnana. So astra and shastra, both jnana he acquired from Parshuram. But his material conditions did not change at all. He still remained poor. So that is destiny. So then when he came back, he saw that his son Ashwatthama was still deprived. So I remember when I was very small, my medium of instruction was Kannada. And in Kannada language, there was a lesson for us. It was about Ashwatthama. That his mother, Kripi, gave him, you know, she put, what did they call it? Akki hittu. That means the floor of, you know, rice powdered nicely, mixed with water, and gave that as milk. And Ashwatthama innocently thought that it was cow's milk, and he would drink it. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, Dronacharya, when he saw this condition of his son, he felt extremely miserable that I have a son, but, you know, I'm not able to take care of him. So he was very much miserable. So depriving a child of cow's milk is something which is very, very a miserable thing for the parents. So he was not able to satisfy Ashwatthama on that count. So Dronacharya loved his son very much. He sort of became disgusted with himself. And Ashwatthama for quite some time carried on until he came to know what is really cow's milk. So until that time he carried on. So it is described that Ashwatthama, he was deprived of his legitimate rights to drink cow's milk during childhood. So now, being a Brahmana, Dronacharya thought that maybe, you know, he can aspire for dharma yukta dana. A Brahmana is allowed to beg. So he went around, you know, begging for a cow. All just for, you know, supplying cow's milk to his son. That was the only intention. Not that he wanted to possess a cow. But unfortunately, he did not get a cow in charity. So his miseries, you know, continued like that. So Ashwatthama and parents, they all suffered because of poverty. Then Drona remembered that he had a childhood friend who was now the emperor, Drupada. He was the emperor of Panchala Desh. So he said, now let me approach my friend, childhood friend. Surely, you know, he can give me a cow. So with that intention, he went to Drupada to beg for a cow. I think the other day Pavaneshwar Prabhu talked about this, if I mistake not remember. So he went to Panchala Naresh and he said, he told him, he reminded him of their childhood friendship and said, you know, I have come for a cow. So he was thinking that very spontaneously Panchal Naresh will give him a cow. But that did not happen. He did not get a cow. Not at all. So he was, not only was he not given cow in charity, he was actually humiliated by Drupada. He said, you are thinking of, you know, childhood friendship. Oh, you are stupid. So that way he was humiliated. So that humiliation must have weighed on the mind of not only Drona, but also, you know, Ashwatthama. That, you know, this is how my father is being treated. Now, he had Astra Jnana and he had also Shastra Jnana. He was very, very competent, filled with knowledge. But what to do? No takers. He did not have a proper outlet for his knowledge. A teacher who possesses jnana would like to impart it to his student. So that knowledge is not meant to be kept in a godrej locker. It is supposed to be distributed. It is supposed to be parted with. So this was not happening. So he was a storehouse of knowledge, jnana, both astravidya, especially astravidya. But he was not able to transmit it to anyone. So this miserable condition continued for a long, long time. So, now, Dronacharya was a self-respecting Brahmana. So he could not go on advertising about, you know, here I am, you know, I have knowledge of celestial weapons. Please come and take this knowledge, you know. He couldn't do that. Self-respecting person. So he could not, there was no question of, you know, advertising, you know, sending, you know, flyers through newspapers, so such classes. Nowadays when you open a newspaper, you get so many, you know, flyers. This class, that class, astrology class, this class, so many things you get. But in case of Dronacharya, nothing happened. So his misery, you know, continued for quite some time. But then as it is said, Daivam Palati Sarvatra Nacha Vidya Na Pavrusham. So Pavrusham doesn't help. Daivam Palati Sarvatra. So destiny is all powerful. So destiny works in its own way and it gives you fruits when it wants to give you. It's not that you can demand it. It happens when it happens. So after, it so happened that now the time had come for his destiny to, you know, change. As we know that after Maharaj Pandu, you know, passed away, Kunti Devi with her 5 sons, Yudhishthir Maharaj and Yudhishthir, Bhima, Arjuna and Nakul and Sahadev, she continued to live in the forest for quite some time. And then Bhishma Dev, Vidura and other, they conferred with Duryodhana's father and they said that let us now bring, you know, Dhritarashtra. So let us now bring Pandu's family to royal palace. After all, Pandu was the king of Hastinapur. So they deserve to be in royal palace. So they went and brought, Bhishma personally intervened and brought all the Kunti Devi and her sons to Hastinapur. And then thus, the Pandu princess and the Kuru princess, I am doing it just to distinguish between the two. So both of them, you know, started receiving, you know, education. Now, Bhishma Dev appointed Krupacharya as their teacher. Krupacharya was an excellent teacher, and he was also expert in weaponry. So he taught them weapons, and Bhishma Dev was very pleased with the way Krupacharya was, you know, educating both the princes, Kuru and Pandava princes. He was very happy with the progress that they made, and everything went off for some time. But then Bhishma Dev also wanted the princes to be educated in the heavenly, you know, the weapons, the jnana. He wanted them to have that knowledge as well, which unfortunately Krupacharya did not possess. So he was looking out. He was looking out for some teacher who could give all the knowledge also of celestial weapons and how they are to be used. He wanted that to happen, and he had not been able to find any teacher. So here, destiny came in. It so happened, it's a long story, so happened that once, you know, the Pandava and the Kuru princes were playing, you know, in ground outside the main capital. So they were playing, and they were playing with a ball. It's not mentioned that they were playing cricket. They were playing with a ball, and that ball went and fell into a deep well. It was a dry well. It went and fell into that. It was very deep. So all the princes, the Pandava princes as well as the Kuru princes, they all surrounded the well. And they were looking at the ball. They wanted to retrieve it, but did not know how to retrieve it. So they wanted to possess it again. So what to do? They were desperate, looking at each other, but not able to do anything. So at that time, a dark, very frail, emaciated man, he came in their group. This is described in Mahabharata. He came there, and when he came there, they saw that he had an effulgent face, but looking very weak, emaciated. So when that man came, the princes looked at one another, and then they looked at this man, and they said that, can you help us with this ball, you know, can you retrieve it for us? So that person, you know, looked at the princes, and he said, it's a shame on you that, you know, you are learning, you know, astra and all that, and we are not able to retrieve the ball. So he said like that. Dharmaraj, he said that, can you retrieve it for us? He said, I can retrieve it for you, provided you give me a meal, khana. So that was his state. He had not eaten for days together. So then he said that, what I will do is, you know, I'll throw a ring first into the well, and then, you know, I will, he took, you know, long grasses, durva grasses. He said, you know, with my mantra shakti, you know, I'll empower these long blades of grass to pierce the ball, and then, you know, I'll take it out. So people, all of them cheered. They said, okay, fine, fine. And then this person who had come there to the well, he took those long, you know, then, you know, chanted some mantra, and then he took one grass, pointed grass, and he straight away threw it at the ball. It pierced the ball. And then the next grass that he threw, it went and attached itself to the previous one. And this way went on throwing grasses until a chain was formed, and then he pulled out the ball and gave it to the prince. They were all astounded. How can this happen? We have not learned this. We have learned, you know, so many things about astra, but we have not learned this. So they were, you know, taken aback. And they said that, all right, you have retrieved the ball, but what about your ring, you know, which you have thrown? Then he borrowed an arrow from one of the princes and a bow, and he shot a sharp arrow, and that arrow he shot, and the arrow, it came back with the ring, and the ring was returned to Dronacharya. So they were really flabbergasted, all the princes, because they had learned from Krupacharya so many things, but this was something unusual feat. This must be a great personality. So they surrounded him and said that, please, let us know your identity. Please tell who you are so that, you know, we can talk about you to Bhishmadev. He said, I don't have to give you my name. You go to Bhishmadev and narrate to him what has happened here. Just narrate to him. And I will wait for you here. He had confidence that they will all come back. So he waited. And the princes ran to Bhishmadev and said, you know what happened today? And then they narrated this, you know, in a dramatic way. They narrated the whole incident. And then that man, you know, did not identify himself. But he said that you narrate this to Bhishmadeva and he will know who the person is. And Bhishmadeva knew. He immediately said that this must be Drona. Huh? Drona. And Parshuram, Bhishmadeva also had learnt his Astra Vidya from Parshuram. He said, this is my god brother, you know, learnt from him only. So he was very, very thrilled. He was looking out for a teacher who knew weaponry, especially celestial weapons. Said that he went, so Bhishmadev accompanied the princes. They all went outside, you know, outside the city. And then they went, and when Bhishmadev realized that, yeah, my guesswork was right, it is Dronacharya. So when they met Dronacharya, he immediately offered him, he said that, you know, I appoint you, you know, as the Acharya in charge of the students for Shastra Vidya and Shastra Vidya as well. So he appointed him. So royal patronage Dronacharya got. And you can imagine, now the poverty of Ashwatthama disappeared. There was no poverty. So when the Lord wants, you know, he can reach out to you through various ways, and this happened in this particular way. So this way, the poverty of Drona and Dronacharya and Ashwatthama was lost. So, as I said, the days of poverty and deprivation for Ashwatthama were over. And now, by this time, Ashwatthama also had become an expert in archery by now. He had learned sufficient things, weaponry. So, Dronacharya taught all his disciples very nicely. He gave them excellent knowledge of weaponry. And from among all the students, there was one particular student who was really bright, and you can guess it was Arjuna, Savesachi Arjuna. So this Savesachi Arjuna, he impressed Dronacharya very much, and by his not only his excellence in weaponry, but also by his conduct, he pleased Dronacharya very much, very happy with him. And there are others also, they were all bright, everybody was very good, but Arjuna excelled everyone, especially in archery. And Drona gave his best time to Arjuna. Along with him, Ashwatthama also learnt all the special things that were taught to Arjuna. So he was almost on the same plane as Arjuna when it came to archery and other things. That was Ashwatthama's skill. That's how so when the education of the princes got over, so the time came for giving Guru Dakshina. Guru Dakshina is to be given. When in the olden days, when the education was over, the disciple would give some Guru Dakshina. So they asked him, what is the Guru Dakshina that you are expecting? So at that time, Dronacharya said that you capture Drupada and bring him to me. That's all. He did not want anything else. So all his disciples said, we will do it, we'll catch him. So among the Kauravas, many heroes came forth and they made their attempts. But they could not capture Drupada. Drupada was a very brave king. They could not capture him. And then eventually, finally, it's a long story in Mahabharata, Arjuna succeeded in capturing Drupada. So he was able to fulfill the desire of his guru Dronacharya, and he captured him. And when he was captured, the Panchala king was brought before him, almost tied and brought. So at that point in time, Dronacharya did not humiliate Drupada, who was his friend. He did not humiliate him. But at the same time, he made him realize that one day you drove me out of your court, humiliated me, but now here I am, you know. So what he did was, he gave half the kingdom. He gave half the kingdom to Drupada, and the remaining half kingdom he gave to his son Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama became a king. So from dire poverty to a royal throne, that was the transition. So this is how, you know, destiny plays. So it is mentioned, we are like, you know, wooden dolls in the hands of destiny, in the hands of God actually, who is the master of all our destiny. So we are like that. The way he makes us dance, we have to dance. That is how Ashwatthama's life went on. So going fast forward, so all the disciples of Dronacharya were very, very expert in a lot of weaponry. And a time came when there was Mahabharata war. So there was a Mahabharata war. It was an 18-day war, as we have said already. So it was a war in which there were many challenges, and it so happened that Dronacharya and Bhishma Dev, Kripacharya, brother-in-law of Dronacharya, so they all sided with the Kauravas, not because they liked Kauravas or their philosophy or their dharmic tendencies, but they were obliged to. They were in service of Kuru King. So Bhishma Dev, as they say, namak khaya hai. So Bhishma Dev also, you know, showed his affiliation to the Kaurava princes, as did others. So that way they continued. They fought on behalf of this. And as everybody knows, that it was virtually impossible to have killed Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya in war. It was next to impossible. But in a very dharmic way and in a very intelligent way, Yudhishthira Maharaj himself approached Bhishma Dev, and from Bhishma Dev he came to know what is the secret for killing him. So Bhishma Dev narrated to Yudhishthira Maharaj the way in which they can get rid of him. It's not that they did something adharmic. Bhishma Dev himself said that you put, you know, Shikhandi in front of you, Arjun, and then you shoot arrows. When Shikhandi comes, a woman turned man, I'm not going to hold any weapons. And that's how, you know, Bhishma Dev was killed. Dronacharya also, when approached, he said the same thing, you know, that I'm very attached to my son Ashwatthama. If I come to know that Ashwatthama has been killed in war, I will give up my weapons. Now both Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya were stalwarts. So Bhishma Dev, when he fell in the war, and then later on, you know, Dronacharya was fighting relentlessly and he was on the threshold of capturing Yudhishthira Maharaj and whatnot. But at that point in time, Krishna played a trick. He asked Bhima to kill an elephant whose name was Ashwatthama. And Ashwatthama, that elephant was killed. And very softly, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj said to Drona that Ashwatthama has been killed. Hatova, Narova, Kunjarova. So he said that. So Dronacharya didn't believe anyone else, but he believed in Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj will not tell a lie. That was his conviction. So he only heard Ashwatthama hato hataha. He only heard that part, because at that point in time, Krishna, you know, blew on his conch and Kunjara va, that was, you know, obscure to Dronacharya. Dronacharya gave up his arms, and then Drukta-Jumna comes and severs the head of Dronacharya. And that's how Dronacharya died. Now, Ashwatthama, he always carried that perception that, you know, these two stalwart heroes have been killed, you know, not following the rules of law. So, his brain was working in a different way through the war. It's not that he did not like, in fact, he was a close friend of Arjuna. But unfortunately, Mahabharata war, you know, took such turns and it followed a particular course that, you know, so many wrong things were happening, one after other. So, what is Dharma Yuddha? So, I have a few points taken. Dharma Yuddha refers to a war that is fought while following several rules that make the war fair. So, for instance, in a righteous war, chariot warriors are not supposed to attack cavalry and infantry. Those riding elephants are not supposed to attack infantry. The rules also forbid the use of celestial weapons or with ordinary soldiers. So many rules of Dharma Yuddha are available. The build-up of weapons and armies is done with the full knowledge of the opposing sides. The rules of engagement also set out how warriors were to deal with non-combatants. So many rules, we won't go into details. The lives of women, prisoners of war and farmers were sacred and they need to be protected. Pillaging the land was forbidden. Dharma Yuddha does signify that the war is not fought for gain or selfish reasons. A Dharma Yuddha is waged to uphold the principles of righteousness. So this way the war was fought. And there are several other rules also, like I will not go into the details. So what was said was that a person riding an elephant, you know, he cannot, you know, shoot or kill somebody walking, a foot soldier. So if you are on an elephant, you can fight with somebody with an elephant. If you are in a carriage, you can fight with somebody with a carriage. So many rules were framed. And also, you know, somebody is innocent who is not, you know, supposed to be, somebody is mad. We read that. So we are not supposed to fight with such people. But in Mahabharata war, all these rules were framed. Also, the rule was that you, in the morning, you know, a conch would be blown and the Mahabharata war would start. And in the end, you know, a conch would be blown and the war would cease. So many rules were taken. Fighting during night time was forbidden, but all these rules came to be slowly and steadily erased. For example, when Jayadratha was killed, the Pandavas themselves flouted the rule that there should be no fight during night time, because Jayadratha was spotted during sunset, almost. Otherwise, Arjuna would have died, entered fire. So all kinds of things happened during Mahabharata war. So many rules were framed, so many things were done. So with that, the main body of my lecture is over. But now I want to talk a little bit about the word unmatta, which is there in that unmattam. So unmattam. So I wish to talk about unmattam. Now unmattam means, you know, mad. Now it is not that one becomes unmattam only, you know, due to some mental conditions or mental derangement or something like that. Unmattam, becoming unmattam is also a symptom of bhakti. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Unmattam is a word that one comes across in Chaitanya Leela. So very briefly, in the remaining time, I want to talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, especially his pastime with Prakashanand Saraswati. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Banaras, he was doing his yatra, South Indian yatra, he came to Banaras. When he came to Banaras, Banaras, you know, was dominated by impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers, especially headed by
Prakashananda Saraswati. He had 60,000, you know, disciples, and they were virtually, you know, ruling Varanasi. So when the Lord, you know, came to Varanasi, he started his sankirtan and, you know, singing and dancing and all that. And the impersonalist, especially Prakashananda Saraswati, was the chief. He, you know, started deriding the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for this. So that when he started deriding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it gave a lot of pain to his disciples. There were two disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi at that point in time. One was Chandrasekhar Acharya, and the other one was Tapan Mishra. So Tapan Mishra, that was the other one. Now, as all of you know, Tapan Mishra is the father of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. Both of them went and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they said that, oh Lord, you know, our heart, you know, pain when we hear you being criticized, you know, by these Mayavadi philosophers. So you must do something about it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not particularly worried about, you know, what other people think. He was going his way. But these two devotees were extremely distressed. He said, please, O Lord, do something. We can't tolerate this criticism of yours. So only recourse for us, you know, is to die and then to hear criticism about you. So that being the case, but it went on. So when these two people were pleading with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do something, at that time, by Lord's will, you know, a Brahmana happened to come there. He happened to come and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that, please, O Lord, tomorrow, you know, I invited all the sannyasis in Banaras to my house. For the congregation. So you please, I know that you don't like to mix with sannyasis, but please do come. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and said, yes, I will come. What it means is that time had come to, you know, remove the complexes which these Mayavadi philosophers had in their mind. Time had come for the reformation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed and he went. So when he, next day morning, when he went to that Brahmana's place, the place was full of, you know, Mayavadi philosophers, lot of them sitting on the high stage. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached that particular place, he went to that place, he saw all these people. So as soon as he saw these Mayavadi philosophers, he offered his prostrated obeisances to them. So he offered his prostrated obeisances, and they all looked at him, and he went and he washed his feet, and he did not go to the stage and sit with those people. He went and sat very near to the place where people were washing their feet. So he went there and he sat there. And what did he do? When he sat there, he exhibited his effulgence. He became so effulgent, like the sun, you know, shining. He became so effulgent. So all those Mayavadi philosophers who were sitting on the stage, they saw this man, this sage, you know, washed their feet and he's sitting there so effulgent. When they saw that, his beauty, and his effulgence was something that won their hearts. They were completely mesmerized. And when they saw that, they were very much affected. And Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the chief of them, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where he was sitting. He came there. He came down from the stage, came down there. And he says, Sanyasi hai akar nartan gayan bhavuk sab sangelana kar sankirtan. He said that you are a sannyasi
Why do you indulge in chanting and dancing and engaging in your Sankirtan movement in the company of fanatics?
He thought, you know, all this what is going on is fanatic.
So he said that. Said that Vedanta Patana Dhyana Sanyasira Dharma Tahachadi Karakene Bhavukera Karma.
So that as a sannyasi, you know,
meditation and study of Vedanta are the sole duties. Why do you abandon these
to dance with these people? So they could not relate to the fact that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always, you know, sankirtan on the streets of, you know, Varanasi. Whereas these people believed in meditation, study of Vedanta and all that. So they could not relate to that at all. Absolutely. And therefore they were criticizing. That is what hurt the disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a clarification. He said,
Prabhu kahe shuna sripad, guru mara murkhe dekhi karila shasana.
He said that when my guru saw what I was doing, he did shasana, he punished me.
What did he do? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakashananda Saraswati, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me to be a fool and therefore he chastised me. Murkha tumi tomar nahi ka vedanta shikdhikar Krishna mantra japasada esi mantra sar.
He said that you have no adhikar, you know, to do any, read Vedas, study Vedanta. You just chant the holy names of the Lord. Nahi ka Vedanta adhikar.
So you have no right to study the Vedas. Then he said, Nama vinu kali kale nahi ara dharma sarva mantra sara nama ehi shastra marma.
Said that the essence of Shastra is that you should chant the holy names.
So in this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purpose of all scriptures. Itabali eka shloka sikhaila kora kante kari ehi shloka kariha vichare Hare Nama eva kevalam kalav nasteva gatiranyata.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recounted this shloka to the sages or the different Mayavadi sannyasis who met him. And he said that this is the essence of
spirituality.
So anybody who chants this, he doesn't have to study Vedanta. He is free from studying Vedanta. So my Guru Maharaj prevented me from, you know, study of Vedanta. And he asked me to simply chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply expected me to chant the holy names of the Lord
and purify my existence.
So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says,
Dhaira dharite nari hailam unmatta hasi kandi nachi gabhi yaiye madamatta. He says, Dhaira dharite nari hailam unmatta. He says that while chanting the holy names of the Lord in pure ecstasy,
I became unmatta. That was the word which is appeared on the board. He said, I became unmatta. So this chanting of the holy names in deep absorption can lead to a state of what one may, a materialistic person may dub as an insane man, a man fit to be admitted to a lunatic asylum. But that is not the case. They are on the highest platform of bliss.
So here,
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this unmatta form. He says that I became unmatta.
Hasi, kandi, nachi, gaiya, iche. So sometimes, you know, I laugh, sometimes I cry, sometimes I dance and sing
just like a mad man. So this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained what his movement was to Prakashanand Saraswati. By his deep conviction of what he was speaking, especially the Bhakti Marga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very subtle way influenced the impersonalistic streak in Prakashananda Saraswati. And Prakashananda Saraswati slowly, the long discussion in Chaitanya Charitamrita, immediately he became converted from an impersonalist to a bhakta. So this is the effect that the Supreme Lord had on people who were impersonalistic in their habits. And thus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu influenced Prakashananda Saraswati so deeply that Prakashananda Saraswati and all his 60,000 disciples, all of them surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they took up the path of bhakti. So this is the glory of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was capable of transforming, you know, thousands and thousands of Mayavadi philosophers in a trice, so to say. And he did it through his weapon of extreme humility. Though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he was basically the Lord himself, but he never exhibited that except for that effulgence which attracted these Mayavadis. Mayavadis always get attracted to effulgence. So he exhibited that just to attract them. But once they were attracted, he explained to them the tenets of bhakti and persuaded them to take up the path of bhakti and that way, you know, excel in their spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free to do so. Pavaneshwar Prabhu, anything to comment?
Hari Bol Prabhuji. Neel Krishna Prabhu or anybody else sitting here
has any comments to make? Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki, Gaud Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.